So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening. Going to be with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in, though. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your Roomba, your Pulsar watch, your Sony Discman, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. That's your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, as always, Day Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a lot to get into here with you this evening. Busy weekend. Let's start off with the Braves. As without further ado, let's just get right into it, Day Day. Let's just get right into it. As 3 out of 4, 41-9 in the four games over the hapless, dismal, Dreck of the universe mutts. Day Day, are you like back there? Are you still waiting on it to again, the one time when we have to just play this? Oh boy. Yeah. You know, Day Day, they say timing is everything on there. Yeah,
well, your cohort the other day kind of jacked my folder up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So here we go.
Okay. Here we go. I'll sing. F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. They're going to suck for the rest of your life. Let's do one more time. Let's do one more just to feel good about the dreadful, godforsaken mutts.
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kitties and bring your wife. Because they're going to suck for the rest of your life.
You know they're a half game out of last place from the Nationals?
Yeah. They if they hadn't won yesterday, that's where they'd be sitting today.
Yeah, they would be. Yeah, they would be in last place. And now you've got people saying, well, Verlander wasn't a good teammate. And what a pile of muck and mire. What a scuzzbag, dirtbag, low-life organization the Mutts are. Their owner, Day-Day, I don't know if I've ever told you this, and I don't know, maybe I have or haven't, but I hate the Mutts.
Yes, you have.
I hate them. I don't like anything. I don't like their uniforms. I don't like their stupid airport. I don't like their stupid stadium. I don't like their goofball owner. I don't like their nitwit manager. I don't like Tim Tuffle. I don't like Wally Backman. I don't like John Stearns. How about that? Let's go old school. I don't like LeGron Orange, Rusty Staub. I hate everybody associated with them. Braves pound on the Mets 41-9. And again, the only reason that they lost yesterday is because Yucky Yanni, why again he is pitching starts. What's wrong with having Soroka pitch some innings at the big league level? You're up by 80 games in the division. It's over. You've got a third of the way left. Why would Michael Soroka not be up on the big club getting some starts and trying to figure some things out? Again, he's got it figured out at Gwinnett. He just pitched seven innings of no-hit ball or no-run ball with eight strikeouts in Gwinnett Saturday night. How much more of Michael Soroka do we need to figure out at Gwinnett? Let's figure him out at the major league level with the big club when they've got an 80,000-game lead where nothing is going to change about the division. If Michael Soroka pitches great or he stinks it up, at least you'll have time to evaluate him and figure out if he's part of the long-term solution. You're not going to have Morton in a couple of years. You may not have Max Fried in a couple of years. I don't know. Just spitballing. Wouldn't it behoove you to figure out if Michael Soroka can be part of the long-term solution and figure out his way back into some prominence? I don't know. Just spitballing these ideas out here. Just on a whim and a lark about, you know, what we should do. Just saying. Let him be the every fifth day starter. Nothing's going to change in the division. You might even find out that Soroka could get himself hot and make some noise. If not, you're not going to pitch him in the playoffs then. Because you're certainly not going to pitch Yanni Chirinos in the freaking playoffs. So again, if somebody's going to come up and give five runs in four innings, hell, it might as well be Soroka. Might as well be him. At least you'll have an understanding. Because here's what I know. Yanni Chirinos is no part of the solution or the future for the Atlanta Braves. Nothing. Zero, zip, nada. Nothing about him screams future pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. At least with Soroka, you might have a shot. And if not, oh well, hasta lasagna. Don't get any on ya. Don't offer him arbitration, DFA him, trade him, whatever. If you don't think he can make it anymore, then move on. Move on and give the next guy a chance. But at least you have some understanding about, hey, maybe he can be part of the solution. Or, you know what, he's never going to get right. You can afford to do all of these things right now, all of them. Figure it out, let him pitch, have every fifth start, not lose the division, whatever. All of that's in front of you for the last third of the season. Meanwhile, Yanni Chirinos is going out there and just getting hammered on. Another, what was it, five or six runs again? His ERA is now up to 5.22. His ERA is a 5.25. 5.25. Again, if I'm going to have a 5.25 ERA pitcher, I might as well have Michael Soroka come up there. At least he would at least have a look-see. At least you'd figure some things out. Not trotting Yanni Chirinos out for five starts now or whatever, four starts now. Good Lord. So Braves with Max Fried on the hill tonight face the New York Yuckies. So that will be a fun series. You know, listen, these interleague series, especially at this time of the year, kind of strange. But we'll see what the Yuckies have got going on. And, you know, Aaron Judge and the boys. And obviously, listen, Matt Olson has been on a tear. Ronnie's on a tear. Bottom of the order is on a tear. Things are all in good shape. So We'll see with the Braves, and we'll keep you up to date all night long about. Look, I need Max Fried to bounce back to what he was, you know, in that first start against the Cubs. Maybe not as dominant, but pitch me well enough to get a win, because he pitched well, and then it got away from him in that last start. Got away from him. And, again, he should have figured out a way to win that game, especially when they had the lead, but he kind of gave up too much. And, you know, again, these big innings have hurt the Braves as far as their pitching staff goes. So we'll keep up to date about Max Fried and what the Braves do against the New York Yucks. We'll talk more about this, and we're going to open up the phone lines to you as well about the Falcons win. Look, defense showed out, and that was a good first step. Now, we've got the Bungles coming up on Friday. So at home against the Bungles, Arthur Smith has already talked about the idea that the starters will start. We'll see Desmond Ridder. We'll see Bijan Robinson. You know, the starters will play. I'll be interested to see what the depth chart looks like. But I thought all good news, and we'll break this down more coming up in the next segment. We'll get your thoughts as well. But, you know, again, it's I thought it was a really good first step for the Falcons. If that's what our backups can look like, imagine what some of our starters can look like. And that's all I wanted to see. Wanted to see progress. I wanted to see guys playing well. I wanted to see what we look like from a talent perspective. Not going to overhype it or anything like that, but it was a good first step for the Atlanta Falcons. So, again, we'll get more into this later on here, or in about, you know, about 10 minutes from right now. Georgia is number one in now the AP poll and obviously the coaches poll. Only the second time Georgia's been number one in the polls. So this is their third, or I should say this is their third time of being number one in the polls. Still not unanimous. Michigan got two first-place votes, and Ohio State got one first-place vote. No first-place votes for Alabama. Interesting. The coaches had them with four first-place votes. Nobody had them in the first-place vote in the media. Coaches had them four, first-place. Nobody in the media. That's interesting. Certainly, you would think that some media member would have voted Alabama number one, but maybe the reality is setting in that, oh, yeah, the best team in the country, the best program in the country, the best head coach in the country is in Athens, Georgia. Sorry, not sorry. He's the best coach. They're the best program right now. I'm not talking about in the last 50 years. I'm talking about in the year of our Lord, August 14th of 2003 at 7:12:54. Kirby Smart's the best coach in the country right now. And no real surprise. We will talk to Chip Towers coming up at 8:20. The Bulldog beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we'll get his thoughts about where we're at with Georgia. Obviously, you know, we're heading into the season in just a few weeks here, so it's coming very, very quickly. So, also at 7:40 tonight, we are scheduled to speak with Britt Baker, AEW superstar. Britt Baker is scheduled to join us. They obviously are coming here to Atlanta, and by the way, I think they're going to film both Collision and Dynamite here in Atlanta. I think Collision's going to be taped here, and they're going to obviously put Dynamite on. And this will be right before they go to Wembley Stadium. So this will be a big show here at Gas South Arena because they're going to be ready to head to Wembley Stadium. And again, if you didn't hear me Freaky and Mike, look, they've got 70,000 tickets sold right now. 70,000 tickets sold for Wembley Stadium. It's a heck of an accomplishment, and it's an event, and it's going to be a big time deal. And then right the week after that, they have a pay per view in Chicago. So they've got a lot going on. They're hot right now. Listen, say what you will, wrestling is hot right now. Wrestling is hot again. The WWE is making money hand over fist. They're having all the biggest crowds, all the biggest shows, all the biggest streaming. Can you imagine if they had this infrastructure when you had Rock, Austin, Mick Foley, Triple H? Like, again, with the network and the pay-per-views and just all of the social media, all of the infrastructure that they have now. Could you imagine in 1998 if you had all of this with Austin, Rock, Foley, Undertaker, Triple H, and all those guys?
Yeah, it would have been nuts.
I mean, you again, they were getting 10 million people a night watching WWE Raw. Yep. Imagine if they had this whole infrastructure back then.
Yeah.
Would have been nuts.
Hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. So, again, we'll talk to Britt Baker from AEW coming up here at 7:40. All right, here's what we got. 404-726-0929. Your thoughts about the Falcons. I thought it was a good first step. Anybody disagree? 404-726-0929. Your thoughts, my thoughts, coming up next about the Falcons. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Monday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is both our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Taking your calls about your thoughts about what we saw on Friday night from the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk to AEW superstar Britt Baker coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now, as they will be here in Atlanta in just literally under a couple of weeks. You know, I thought that, like I said in the first segment, it was a good first step for the Atlanta Falcons. And I thought the things that most impressed me about this team were the fact that, number one, they had that bend but don't break mentality on defense. Yeah, they gave up some gash plays and this, that, and the other. And Arthur Smith talked about it. They got to work on their tackling, right? They still have some tackling issues and this, that, and the other. But when push came to shove and they got in the red zone, that meaning the Dolphins' offense got in the red zone, they were not able to break through against the Falcons, other than the three-point, that late in the fourth quarter when they had their 3 points. That was it. And I thought the Falcons' defense played well. And I wanted to see, and we talked about this on Thursday night, I wanted to see if the Falcons looked different. Again, I'm not worried about that they were going to run any kind of schemes and sets and trickery and all this kind of stuff. I just wanted to see if it looked like we were better personnel-wise year over year. And I think that that's what the case is. Look, I saw some people on Twitter, well, you know, the Falcons' backups played good and all that against the Dolphins' backups. Okay, would you rather have it the other way? Would you rather have it that our backups stink? And I saw, well, there's a lot of those guys that aren't going to be around in 3 weeks. I promise you D. Alford's going to be around in 3 weeks. I promise you Arnold Ebiketie's going to be around in 3 weeks. I can promise you that DeMarco Helms is going to be around in 3 weeks. I can promise you that there are several guys that are going to be around in 3 weeks. Scotty Miller's going to be around in 3 weeks. Now, those guys are going to be around. There's plenty of guys that played that are going to be around. Well, Ebba Cady was doing that against backups. Okay, that's a good sign. But would you have rather had Ebba Cady be dominated by backups? Of course not. That's why I say these are all good first steps for this team. They had 5 sacks. They created 4 turnovers. We'll talk about Jerry Gray coming up at 9 o'clock. Because guess what? Guess what you're seeing already? Guess what you're seeing already? If your eyes don't see very well, watch more intently on the back end of their defense and what they're doing. So I thought it was all good for the Atlanta Falcons, especially defensively, because that's, again, what my questions and concerns are. Look, I know they've got a whole bunch of talent on the offensive side. Their offensive line is really good. They've got all the running backs in the world. They have good pass catchers. They've got, obviously, Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts, our unicorn. We have Michael Pruitt, our unicorn. We got all these unicorns. We got all kinds of animals running around on the field. I know all of that, but I wanted to see some of these guys get their chance. I thought D. Alford looked really good. Look, I'll even talk about Jalen Mayfield. I thought Jalen Mayfield played well. Like, he was, when they asked him to do some pass protection stuff, okay, it was a little bit shaky. I grant that. He was a little bit shaky. He got turned around a couple of times. You know, and again, it wasn't anything kind of intricate, but he's going to struggle against some stunts and different things like that. But when they asked him to move north and south, when they asked him to go north and south in that offense, he played well. And that could be the same thing could be said about Caleb McGarry. When they ask him to go north and south, he plays well. When you get him out of his comfort zone, not sure about all that. Now, look, I, like everybody, wanted to see some of these guys. I wanted to see Ritter a little bit. Here's the other thing, too, that I liked. I liked the fact that they threw it 23 times to Logan Woodside. And for Arthur, that's a pretty good amount of times. And I thought the pass catchers, because I don't want to call them receivers or tight ends or anything like that. We're not boxing them in. It's positionless football. But I thought the pass catchers did a nice job of catching footballs in traffic. I thought at times that when there were guys around and guys in lanes, I thought our pass catchers did a nice job. The Penny Hart catch was a nice one. Scotty Miller had a nice catch. Like, I thought those guys did a good job catching the football. And Igwe Buike thought he ran the football well. He averaged over almost five and a half yards a carry, grabbed 70 yards. They ran the football effectively like they want to do. But they also threw it 23 times, and they let their quarterback. And I wanted to see that from Ritter. And I'm hoping on Friday that we see Desmond Ritter open up the offense a little bit. I want to see Ritter huck a couple downfield. I want to see Desmond Ritter throw it, you know, a good decent amount of times. Now, I don't know how long everybody's going to play or this, that, and the other. I also don't know who is going to play or not. Like, they're starting to get to be concerned about Matt Hennessy. Starting to get to be concerned about Matt Hennessy, and is he going to end up on IR or something like that? This was supposed to be a week, and now it's lingering, and it is kind of, you know, a little bit alarming. Now, the Falcons made, obviously, several roster moves since, you know, Friday night's game. We'll talk about that in the Falcons flyover. But I thought they were coached well. I thought they played well. I thought our backups played well. That the guys we – look, D. Alford had a really nice game, both in the secondary and obviously with the punt return. Let me see more of D. Alford and see if he can run punts back for me. Or let me see a host of these guys. Look, Nate Ladman. That was a guy that played well. I think Nate Ladman played well in his role. Can he be another inside linebacker rotational piece? Right now, without Michael Walker – we're kind of thin at inside linebacker. We're getting a little bit thin at inside linebacker right now. We're obviously getting a little bit thin on our offensive line. And Arthur Smith talked today about the fact that, hey, Jalen Mayfield's competing for a swing tackle job. So the fact that he even looked like an NFL player was a big first step for his evolution. He's not going to start. We're not asking him to start. But you had to look like an NFL football player. That was the first step of saying, hey, okay, maybe this guy can play in the NFL when all is said and done. And if he's a swing tackle for this team, fine. I got no problem with that. But I thought that there were a lot of good things that were done. I thought their offensive line played pretty well. I thought, obviously, their defensive line and some of the guys that you had, you know, Ebikadi and guys like that, Landman, you know, making a sack. That was all good news. All good news. And, yeah, they've got their flaws and their warts, and they've got things that they've got to work on. You know, they were getting gashed at times in the run game. They've got to tackle better. That's always been a mantra for, feels like, with the Falcons. They have to tackle better. But when you just look at the raw numbers, 5 sacks, 4 turnovers, only 3 points on multiple red zone trips. And look, as Pete Rose said, you know, Pete Rose always used to say, I don't care if you're playing in the chicken crap league. Of course, he didn't say chicken crap. He said chicken, you know what? He said, I don't care if you're playing in the chicken crap league, hitting 300. Okay, against guys that are getting paid in the NFL, only giving up 3 points is giving up 3 points in the NFL. And this is a good start and something to build off of for this team. And you got some contributions from some, you know, interesting people, right? Breon Borders was a guy who had a tackle for loss, and he had 3 passes defended, and he obviously had the interception return for a touchdown. You know, guys like that, that Arthur talked about the idea of after the game, look, guys are going to get hurt. But we're going to have to play a whole bunch of guys because eventually guys are going to get hurt. A lot of players don't play just 17 games and start and they never have any injury. You're going to have some depth. You're going to have guys that can fill in different roles. You're going to have guys that can do some different things. We talk about, you know, with Arthur and all the and Terry Fano, positionless football. Guys who can play all over the field. Not just be locked into to one thing. Although I want to see that there's guys that are locked into just rushing the quarterback and getting after him. But that's what's going to make Friday night fun. If we can see the influence in the roster changes with the second guy. And by the way, too, I think come third game, it'll be the exact same thing as you saw in the first game. It'll be Logan Woodside. Maybe Taylor Heinicke, I don't even know. But it'll be pretty much the same blueprint in game number 3 that you saw in game number 1. Where starters aren't going to play. A lot of bench guys aren't going to play. You're not going to see a lot of these guys. You're going to, in that scenario, you're going to see a lot of roster construction happening. Whereas guys are going to be looked at. And look, they've already made some, I would say, mildly surprising moves. They've made some moves that, you know, were interesting. But, again, I thought it was a good first step all the way around. Now let's build off it. Now let's see what our starters can look like. Because, again, I don't even know what the status of Joe Burrow is. I don't really know what his status is. I don't know what his place in the community is. I don't know if he's going to play or not. Did you see Derek Carr yesterday march him right downfield and score a touchdown? Had to laugh. We were talking about that on the show yesterday. They were taking it to the Kansas City Chiefs. Derek Carr led him right downfield, threw a touchdown pass. They were up quick. Then they got up by a couple of touchdowns over the Chiefs, right? A lot of hype and hoopla and everything like that, you know, hyping everything up. But I thought the Falcons' defense really showed out. And I thought Woodside, look, he looked like a capable third-string type of quarterback, right? And again, you can carry 3 guys now. And if they have to make a hard decision about the idea of, you know, do they carry 3 quarterbacks or not, I want those things to be hard decisions. I want us to have hard decisions about, hey, we don't really want to lose this guy off of our roster. 404-726-0929. Let's grab Gerald out in Kennesaw before we get to break. What's going on, Gerald?
Hey, man. I wanted to weigh in on the Falcons, man. Yeah. Listen, man, that was positionless football at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. What I got out of the game, a lot of people was hollering about, well, the starters ain't playing this and that. Listen, I keep the starters in bubble wrap. All that showed me was our second and third string was better than Miami's. And we all know that Miami is a bona fide contending team. We scored on all phases. I think we was the only team in week one scored on special teams, on defense, and offense. I love what I saw because it is the scheme. It's the scheme that won that game. It wasn't even about the players. And the defensive coordinator, he really showed aggression. I love it. And that aggression is going to lead to turnovers. And I believe in Desmond Ridder, I believe he can't mess this up because there's bona fide players, you know, like Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan and Cordero Patterson. Hey, I don't think that Desmond Ridder could mess this up, man. I like what I saw on Monday night, and I'm very excited about the direction that this team is going in. Coach has won 7 games with less. I don't look for nothing less than 12 to 13 wins this season. Thanks.
Appreciate it. I thought that the coaching all the way around, you saw the influence of Arthur Smith. You saw the influence of Ryan Nielsen. You also saw the influence of Jerry Gray. You saw all these guys have their influence on what this team did on Friday night. All right, when we come back, Britt Baker from AEW is going to join us. We'll have a fun conversation with her. We're going to ask her about Tony Schiavone. Yes, the great Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone, woo! Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, theodyssey.com now. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, AEW Wrestling is coming to Gas South Arena. You can go to AEW.com and get your tickets. Wednesday, August 23rd, it'll be a taping of Dynamite and Collision together. Tickets are on sale now. AEW.com is the place to go. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Somebody I have definitely wanted to talk to here over the course of these last couple of years is the doctor herself, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, professional wrestler for AEW. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at RealBrittBaker. Britt, I really appreciate you joining the show. Thank you so much for being on in Atlanta with us tonight.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I have to personally say, and, you know, I'm a fan of, a lifelong fan of wrestling. And one of the things that I really enjoy about your work is just the idea of you really found a way to get yourself over kind of organically. And I love the presentation that you had with you and Rebel. Just, I love that whole package. When did you feel like things were kind of coming together for you and your character? When did you feel like, was there a moment specifically when you thought, okay, like this is coming together now, and now I'm kind of finding my groove and my stride in this?
You know, what's kind of crazy about that whole era was there really wasn't a telltale sign that anything was working or not working, because it was during the pandemic and there were no fans. Mm-hmm. Typically you gauge by the reactions, if they like something, if they don't like something, and we didn't really have any of that. So it was a lot of, we were just going off our gut and what felt right. And of course we're all fans of professional wrestling too. So when you film something, when you produce something, when you have a match or it's something that you yourself like, you kind of hope that that the fellow fans are going to like it as well. But it was really just taking feedback from Tony Khan, and at the time Cody was working really closely with us, and Kenny and Chris Jericho, and we had really brilliant minds helping at the time. And speaking of time, I was really, really lucky, and I'm so grateful for it, that I had so much time on television back then. You know, we have a much bigger roster now, and it's a lot harder to get a 3-minute vignette in or a live promo. And at the time, I was just so lucky to be in the right place in the right time during the pandemic, where I was local to Florida and I was at TV every single week. Because that's really how you get the stories over, and how you get people invested in the characters, is when you see them every week on TV telling a story.
Yeah, and you know, that's a really good point that you made there about, you know, early on in AEW's evolution, just, again, you know, you were trying different things. And, you know, I think you said it best. I mean, just the idea of being on TV and kind of honing your craft. I mean, like I said, I love the fact that you were kind of able to get over organic. You kind of broke out from a lot of other performers. Do you think that, I mean, is... how much more comfortable are you now in your character and in wrestling and everything from even just a few years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Well, a few years ago, even just when AEW first started, I felt like I didn't really know who I was at all as a character, as a wrestler, and as a performer. And then once I turned heel and really started getting the groove of things, and, you know, it's a lot of trial and error. And unfortunately mm-hmm. for us, it's trial and error on live TV. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so great. But either way, you have to pick up pieces and move on and learn from it, because guess what? You have to do it again next week and the next week and the next week. So it's quick turnaround time to build and make improvements and adjustments from what worked and what didn't.
You graduated from dentistry school before you got into wrestling. What was it that spurred you to get into wrestling? I mean, again, you were set up to have a good career. What made you decide to get into wrestling, even with your background in dentistry?
Well, it's actually not true. I started dental school and training to be a wrestler at the exact same time.
Oh, okay.
I graduated from undergrad at Penn State University, and then I was moving into the city of Pittsburgh for my dental degree, and within 3 months before I started dental school, I took my first bump and started training to be a professional wrestler. And it was something I never thought in a million years that I would have two careers like this. I was just a wrestling fan. And when I heard about the independent wrestling scene that was in Pittsburgh, which is, it's where a lot of your favorite current TV stars, wrestlers on TV, it's where a lot of them started. And at the time, I was a huge WWE fan. That was really the only mainstream wrestling that was on TV. And some of my favorite wrestlers, like Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, and even Natty and CM Punk and Seth Rollins, all these huge names started on the independent wrestling scene. So when you click on YouTube and you type their names in indie wrestling, and then you see them wrestling in front of 20 to 50 people in a bingo hall or something, like, it just makes it a totally different perspective, and it makes it something that encourages you to maybe want to try.
AEW wrestler Dr. Britt Baker joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What did you think those first few times taking your bumps? I mean, I know what that's like. I mean, what was that feeling like? What was going through your mind those first few times when you're taking those flat back bumps?
You know, even still to this day, because anytime you have any type of injury and you're doing your recovery, before they clear you to get back in the ring, you still just have to stand in the middle of the ring and take a flat back bump.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most jarring thing of all time. It's horrible. I think it's one of the worst bumps of all time. Is just when you have to throw yourself down into the mat as hard as you can. You feel like your lungs just completely seize up on you, and you feel like your ribs might have broken for a second. And then you try to get that air to fill in them again. And It's very intense. That flat back bump is not my favorite. That's for sure.
So I believe that I read that you are kind of stepping away from some of your dentistry practice because, again, it's tough to juggle. And I think you even talked about the physical aspect of dentistry, you know, with wrestling combined. Tell me a little bit about that process and that decision that went into maybe getting away a little bit from your dentistry.
Yeah, so with the ever-evolving, ever-changing, ever-growing schedule with AEW, It was getting really hard to manage just because I don't want to be calling off last minute in the dental office all the time if Tony needs me for something, whether it's, you know, for a TV taping or to go do media or for an event or this or that. But I hold myself accountable to be available for those types of events because I am one of the faces of AEW and I want to be available for everything like that. And unfortunately that means kind of not, I don't want to say closing the door, but I'm definitely taking a step back a little bit from dentistry just because, like I was saying, it's not fair to be canceling on patients all the time when something else pops up, and it's not fair to the staff. And my staff is absolutely fabulous at the dental office they work at. I love them to death. But I'm still there. I'm still there a few times a month to check in on my old patients, make sure everyone's okay. I don't really accept any new patients just because it was getting really tricky to navigate the waters of fans coming into the dental office and not really knowing who's really there to be a patient, who's there to get an autograph and a picture. And it's funny, but at the same time, it gets really frustrating for my staff when they're there to try to see patients and try to convert and try to keep the successful practice going.
So your real life partner, Adam Cole, is now in AEW. How excited were you when he signed, and how has that been working? How was that dynamic about, you know, the two of you all working together in the same promotion?
Yeah, that was such a fun but stressful time when his contract was up because it really came out of nowhere. I think it's public knowledge now that we all thought that he had a little bit more time when his contract was going to be up with WWE, but it wasn't. It really came out of nowhere, and we had a very short amount of time, or he had a very short amount of time to kind of decide what was he going to do, and I tried to not be any influence whatsoever other than being his girlfriend, which obviously that comes with the territory of being an influence, but I didn't want to steer him one way or another. I wanted him to do what he wanted to do and where he thought he was going to be the most successful and have the most fun, and fortunately, he chose AEW, and that was... It was really cool. It was really special when I sat down and finally realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to go to work with him all the time now because we've never worked in the same promotion ever.
Right.
And I was one of the very few people that knew that he had signed when he made his surprise debut. I think All Out. Yes, All Out in Chicago. And when he came out and his music hit and Adam Cole, baby, came on the Jumbotron, that was one of the coolest moments in AEW history for me.
So before you go to Wembley, obviously you're going to be here in Atlanta on the 23rd, but how excited? I mean, look, there's going to be obviously when you get to Atlanta, going to be a lot of anticipation about coming up on the 27th, the idea of being in Wembley in front of 80,000 people. Are you ready for all of that? I mean, again, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that, you know, you're going to be a part of, and it's got to be a really cool feeling.
So I will be at Wembley for sure, but unfortunately, I don't know until after Wednesday if I'll be wrestling or not because I have to qualify. Still, I have a match this week against the Bunny, and the winner of that will be in the four-way at Wembley. But I have to say, even to just be a part of this company and the fact that we have an event at Wembley Stadium and the letters AEW are going to be in Wembley Stadium, that is just so surreal to me. One of the biggest shows of all time, and that's our company, and it's just crazy to go back and think what this was when we first started. We didn't have a huge powerhouse behind us. We didn't have the familiarity with the fans. I mean, we really grew this from the ground up, and it was a lot of hard work from the day one squad, from Tony Khan, from the EVPs, from Chris Jericho, and most importantly from our fans, just really staying loyal and hanging with us. And word of mouth, telling their friends, hey, have you heard of AEW? And we really grew this thing into something monstrous, and it's amazing. And I will probably shed a couple tears if I get to wrestle at Wembley, but I'm trying to be positive.
Now, listen, I mean, you're the DMD. I mean, you're going to qualify. I mean, look, I mean, you know.
That's right.
That's a fait accompli.
You have to will it into existence.
All right, last thing for you. I got to ask, all right? So Tony Schiavone was a former coworker of mine. And we did some wrestling shows together on Facebook, and I know Tony, and look, I love Tony to death, and listen, when you have a bunch of former athletes and stuff like that, everybody knows who Tony Schiavone is. How much fun, because I love the interaction that you've had with Tony. I mean, I love when you guys have fun, you know, on camera, and just I love that whole dynamic, that relationship that you two have. How much fun is it working with him? I know Tony personally, and just I loved being around him. You just feel better when you're around him, just realizing, like, this guy has done everything in the wrestling business. How much fun has it, you know, been to work with a Tony Schiavone and be on camera with him?
I would say that's one of my favorite parts of my whole career is the on-screen and off-screen relationship with Tony Schiavone, because he's one of my dearest friends, and he's so good to me. He was such a mentor to me early on when I was first cutting these live promos. It was always him out there with me holding the microphone, and just to kind of be the one to be my punching bag, to take all the hits and punches verbally when I turned heel. And he willingly did it, and we had so much fun with it. And we just have such good chemistry because we really are good friends. We have so much fun backstage. It was kind of like what you see is what you get. What you saw on camera is pretty much the same thing we were doing backstage. We were just having fun and picking on each other. And I think he's one of the MVPs of all of the wrestling because he does so much on camera. He's helped so many people's careers, but even more so, it's the stuff he does backstage. He's always wrangling someone. He's getting everybody ready for live TV. He's helping Tony. He's helping talent, helping producers. He's really, really, really one of the most important people we have.
Well, listen, Britt, I am a big fan, and continued success. AEW is coming to Gas South Arena August 23rd. Get your tickets at AEW.com. Britt is on Twitter at RealBrittBaker, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Again, continued success, Britt. I really appreciate the time. I certainly hope to get a chance to chat with you again. And listen, good luck on Wednesday. I know you're going to be qualifying, so you're going to be wrestling at Wembley, so get ready to take those big bumps in front of everybody.
Thank you so much.
You got it. And when we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. Falcons have made a lot of roster moves here over these last couple of days since the first preseason game. We'll get into all of that next. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, AEW Wrestling is coming to Gas South Arena. You can go to AEW.com and get your tickets. Wednesday, August 23rd, it'll be a taping of Dynamite and Collision together. Tickets are on sale now. AEW.com is the place to go. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Somebody I have definitely wanted to talk to here over the course of these last couple of years is the doctor herself, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, professional wrestler for AEW. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at Real Britt Baker. Britt, I really appreciate you joining the show. Thank you so much for being on in Atlanta with us tonight.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I have to personally say, and, you know, I'm a fan of, a lifelong fan of wrestling. And one of the things that I really enjoy about your work is just the idea of you really found a way to get yourself over kind of organically. And I love the presentation that you had with you and Rebel. Just, I love that whole package. When did you feel like things were kind of coming together for you and your character? When did you feel like, was there a moment specifically when you thought, okay, like this is coming together now, and now I'm kind of finding my groove and my stride in this?
You know, what's kind of crazy about that whole era was there really wasn't a telltale sign that anything was working or not working, because it was during the pandemic and there were no fans.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you gauge by the reactions, if they like something, if they don't like something, and we didn't really have any of that. So it was a lot of, we were just going off our gut and what felt right. And of course, we're all fans of professional wrestling too. So when you film something, when you produce something, when you have a match or it's something that you yourself like, you kind of hope that that the fellow fans are going to like it as well. But it was really just taking feedback from Tony Khan, and at the time Cody was working really closely with us, and Kenny and Chris Jericho, and we had really brilliant minds helping at the time. And speaking of time, I was really, really lucky, and I'm so grateful for it, that I had so much time on television back then. You know, we have a much bigger roster now, and it's a lot harder to get a 3-minute vignette in or a live promo. And at the time, I was just so lucky to be in the right place in the right time during the pandemic, where I was local to Florida and I was at TV every single week. Because that's really how you get the stories over, and how you get people invested in the characters is when you see them every week on TV telling a story.
Yeah, and you know, that's a really good point that you made there about, you know, early on in AEW's evolution, just, again, you know, you were trying different things. And, you know, I think you said it best. I mean, just the idea of being on TV and kind of honing your craft. I mean, like I said, I love the fact that you were kind of able to get over organic. You kind of broke out from a lot of other performers. Do you think that, I mean, is... how much more comfortable are you now in your character and in wrestling and everything from even just a few years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Well, a few years ago, even just when AEW first started, I felt like I didn't really know who I was at all as a character, as a wrestler, and as a performer. And then once I turned heel and really started getting the groove of things, and you know, it's a lot of trial and error. And unfortunately mm-hmm. for us, it's trial and error on live TV. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not so great. But either way, you have to pick up pieces and move on and learn from it, because guess what? You have to do it again next week and the next week and the next week. So it's quick turnaround time to build and make improvements and adjustments from what worked and what didn't.
You graduated from dentistry school before you got into wrestling. What was it that spurred you to get into wrestling? I mean, again, you were set up to have a good career. What made you decide to get into wrestling, even with your background in dentistry?
Well, it's actually not true. I started dental school and training to be a wrestler at the exact same time.
Oh, okay.
I graduated from undergrad at Penn State University, and then I was moving into the city of Pittsburgh for my dental degree. And within 3 months before I started dental school, I took my first bump and started training to be a professional wrestler. And it was something I never thought in a million years that I would have two careers like this. I was just a wrestling fan. And when I heard about the independent wrestling scene that was in Pittsburgh, which is, it's where a lot of your favorite current TV stars, wrestlers on TV, it's where a lot of them started. And at the time, I was a huge WWE fan. That was really the only mainstream wrestling that was on TV. And some of my favorite wrestlers, like Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, and even Natty and CM Punk and Seth Rollins, all these huge names started on the independent wrestling scene. So when you click on YouTube and you type their names in indie wrestling, and then you see them wrestling in front of 20 to 50 people in a bingo hall or something, like, it just makes it a totally different perspective, and it makes it something that encourages you to maybe want to try.
AEW wrestler Dr. Britt Baker joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What did you think those first few times taking your bumps? I mean, I know what that's like. I mean, what was that feeling like? What was going through your mind those first few times when you're taking those flat back bumps?
You know, even still to this day, anytime you have any type of injury and you're doing your recovery, before they clear you to get back in the ring, you still just have to stand in the middle of the ring and take a flat back bump.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most jarring thing of all time. It's horrible. I think it's one of the worst bumps of all time. It's just when you have to throw yourself down into the mat as hard as you can. You feel like your lungs just completely seize up on you, and you feel like your ribs might have broken for a second. And then you try to get that air to fill in them again. And it's very intense. That flat back bump is not my favorite, that's for sure.
So I believe that I read that you are kind of stepping away from some of your dentistry practice because, again, it's tough to juggle. And I think you even talked about the physical aspect of dentistry, you know, with wrestling combined. Tell me a little bit about that process and that decision that went into maybe getting away a little bit from your dentistry.
Yeah, so with the ever-evolving, ever-changing, ever-growing schedule with AEW, it was getting really hard to manage, just because I don't want to be calling off last minute in the dental office all the time if Tony needs me for something, whether it's, you know, for a TV taping or to go do media or for an event or this or that. But I hold myself accountable to be available for those types of events because I am one of the faces of AEW, and I want to be available for everything like that. And unfortunately, that means kind of not, I don't want to say closing the door, but I'm definitely taking a step back a little bit from dentistry, just because, like I was saying, it's not fair to be canceling on patients all the time when something else pops up, and it's not fair to the staff. And my staff is absolutely fabulous at the dental office I work at. I love them to death. But I'm still there. I'm still there a few times a month to check in on my old patients, make sure everyone's okay. I don't really accept any new patients just because it was getting really tricky to navigate the waters of fans coming into the dental office and not really knowing who's really there to be a patient, who's there to get an autograph and a picture. And it's funny, but at the same time, it gets really frustrating for my staff when they're there to try to see patients and try to convert and try to keep the successful practice going.
So your real life partner, Adam Cole, is now in AEW. How excited were you when he signed, and how has that been working? How was that dynamic about, you know, the two of y'all working together in the same promotion?
Yeah, that was such a fun but stressful time when his contract was up, because it really came out of nowhere. I think it's public knowledge now that we all thought that he had a little bit more time when his contract was going to be up with WWE, but it wasn't. It really came out of nowhere, and we had a very short amount of time, or he had a very short amount of time to kind of decide what was he going to do. And I tried to not be any influence whatsoever, other than being his girlfriend, which obviously that comes with the territory of being an influence. But I didn't want to steer him one way or another. I wanted him to do what he wanted to do and where he thought he was going to be the most successful and have the most fun. And fortunately, he chose AEW, and that was. It was really cool. It was really special when I sat down and finally realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to go to work with him all the time now, because we've never worked in the same promotion ever.
Right.
And I was one of the very few people that knew that he had signed when he made his surprise debut. I was at, I think, All Out. Yes, All Out in Chicago. And when he came out and his music hit and Adam Cole, baby, came on the Jumbotron, that was one of the coolest moments in AEW history for me.
So before you go to Wembley, obviously you're going to be here in Atlanta on the 23rd, but how excited? I mean, look, there's going to be, obviously, when you get to Atlanta, going to be a lot of anticipation about coming up on the 27th, the idea of being in Wembley in front of 80,000 people. Are you ready for all of that? I mean, again, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that, you know, you're going to be a part of, and it's got to be a really cool feeling.
So I will be at Wembley for sure, but unfortunately, I don't know until after Wednesday if I'll be wrestling or not, because I have to qualify. Still, I have a match this week against Bunny, and the winner of that will be in the four-way at Wembley. But I have to say, even to just be a part of this company and the fact that we have an event at Wembley Stadium and the letters AEW are going to be in Wembley Stadium, that is just so surreal to me. One of the biggest shows of all time, and that's our company. And it's just crazy to go back and think this what this was when we first started. We didn't have a huge powerhouse behind us. We didn't have the familiarity with the fans. I mean, we really grew this from the ground up, and it was a lot of hard work from the day one squad, from Tony Khan, from the EVPs, from Chris Jericho, and most importantly from our fans, just really staying loyal and hanging with us and word of mouth, telling our friends, hey, have you heard of AEW? And we really grew this thing into something monstrous, and it's amazing. And I will probably shed a couple tears if I don't get to wrestle at Wembley, but I'm trying to be positive.
Now, listen, I mean, you're the DMD. I mean, you're going to qualify. I mean, look, I mean, you know.
That's right.
That's a fait accompli.
You have to will it into existence.
All right, last thing for you. I got to ask, all right. So Tony Schiavone was a former coworker of mine. And we did some wrestling shows together on Facebook, and I know Tony, and look, I love Tony to death, and listen, when you have a bunch of former athletes and stuff like that, everybody knows who Tony Schiavone is. How much fun, because I love the interaction that you've had with Tony. I mean, I love when you guys have fun, you know, on camera, and just I love that whole dynamic, that relationship that you two have. How much fun is it working with him? I know Tony personally, and just I loved being around him. You just feel better when you're around him, just realizing, like, this guy has done everything in the wrestling business. How much fun is it, you know, been to work with a Tony Schiavone and be on camera with him?
I would say that's one of my favorite parts of my whole career is the on-screen and off-screen relationship with Tony Schiavone, because he's one of my dearest friends, and he's so good to me. He was such a mentor to me early on when I was first cutting these live promos. It was always him out there with me holding the microphone. And just to kind of be the one to be my punching bag, to take all the hits and punches verbally when I turned heel. And he willingly did it, and we had so much fun with it. And we just have such good chemistry because we really are good friends. We have so much fun backstage. It was kind of like what you see is what you get. What you saw on camera is pretty much the same thing we were doing backstage. We were just having fun and picking on each other. And I think he's one of the MVPs of all of the wrestling because he does so much on camera. He's helped so many people's careers, but even more so it's the stuff he does backstage. He's always wrangling someone. He's getting everybody ready for live TV. He's helping Tony. He's helping talent, helping producers. He's really, really, really one of the most important people we have.
Well, listen, Britt, I am a big fan and continued success. AEW is coming to Gas South Arena August 23rd. Get your tickets at AEW.com. Britt is on Twitter at RealBrittBaker, and she joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Again, continued success, Britt. I really appreciate the time. I certainly hope to get a chance to chat with you again. And listen, good luck on Wednesday. I know you're going to be qualifying, so you're going to be wrestling at Wembley, so get ready to take those big bumps in front of everybody.
Thank you so much.
You got it. And when we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. Falcons have made a lot of roster moves here over these last couple of days since the first preseason game. We'll get into all of that next. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.